Good evening. I'm from the Larondra, Louisiana congregation. My name is Rod Smith. Now, I'm often comforted with the verse that Jeremiah recounts in the book of Lamentations that says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And I wouldn't be here tonight if it were not for the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just because of His mercy years ago, but because His mercy for me today. And I'm so glad tonight that we have once again another opportunity to make our calling and our election sure, because it means so much. Maybe a question to start with. What is the purpose of Monarch? Anyone? Why do we come? Say again. A Bible commandment to keep feasts. And why does the Lord want us to keep feasts? I believe that the Lord wants us to worship Him. But I also believe that more than anything else, that the Lord wants us to find peace with Him. The Lord wants us to come to Monarch. And He wants us to find peace that maybe we didn't have. He desires that we get a hold of what we need to get a hold of to keep peace with God. To be able to share the gospel of Christ to those that are without. He wants us to be at peace with the sign that's behind me. You know, when I was young, real young, I used to sit over in the other tabernacle and I would write that down on a piece of paper. I must die, but when? I must meet God, but how? I will live in eternity, but where? And the reason I did it was because service seemed like an eternity. And I was trying to pass the time. And so I'd write that down. And I think the Lord had other plans for services that felt like eternity to me back then. Because there is a real eternity that's coming. And we're going to all spend eternity somewhere. And being at peace with God matters more than anything else in life. And I want to make it matter. And not only do I want to make it matter, but I want to get it right. I want to get it right. My burden this evening, I guess, could be summed up by Jesus' question to His disciples. When He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" Whom do you say that I am? I desire your prayers for me tonight. I feel very desperate for your prayers. I need God to help me deliver this burden that I have. And I wish there was some way that He could slow the clock and allow me to get out what He's put on my heart in a way that's edifying and as brief as possible. If you're here tonight and maybe you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ as your friend and personal Savior, this message is for you. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've been careless with the Word of the Lord, maybe you've neglected things that you've been taught from a child, this message is for you. If you're backslidden tonight, maybe you don't want to acknowledge to yourself that you're backslidden. You know what backslidden is? It means that you are not where you used to be with God, in the wrong direction. And if that's you tonight, this message is for you, but tonight it's also for the Christian. And it's for the church tonight. My burden is that we not be lukewarm in our lives for Jesus. But that we make Him Lord of our life. My burden is that we not be lukewarm and yet have a testimony that all is well with my soul, when all really isn't well with our soul. I'd like to turn to the 16th chapter of Matthew and read verses 13 maybe through 18. It said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Listen, if you will, to these scriptures. He started off asking them, who do other people say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, others Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then I believe He got to the essence of what His burden was for them. Because He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, it would be one thing if all they had to do was respond to the question of who do other people say that I am? Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, who do people, other people say that I am? And maybe it would have been comforting if he would have also asked, who do the people in the church say that you are? And maybe it would have been comforting for them to be able to say, well, Lord, other people say that I'm part of the church of God. I'm accepted. I'm one of the body, Lord. That's what they say on who that I am. But the Lord made it very personal. And it's personal to us tonight, y'all. This is true.
Yes, it is.
We're going to die. We're going to meet God. And we will live in eternity. And it's a very personal question that I believe that God is delivering to us tonight in asking you, whom do you say that I am? Not who do other people say that you are? Not how well do you fit in the congregation that you go to? Not what does the world think about you, but who do you say that I am by the way that you live your life? And it's a question that is still reverberating down through the ages of time, asking us, who do you, by the condition of your heart, Who are you saying that I am based upon where your heart is? Who are you saying that I am by the conduct of your life and the decisions that you make every day? Not your testimony on Sunday or Wednesday, but the decisions that you make every day, the reason that you make those decisions, your motive, your purpose. And he's asking, who do you say that I am with that? Because you see, there's going to come a time, a day that is unexpected. When the Lord is going to come back and he's going to knock at your door, your life, time is going to come to an end and old man time is going to arrive at your door. And if we were to line everybody up tonight in a line of who we thought would go next, you know, it's so easy for us to line the old ones up first, the ones that seem to be sick and afflicted, and then just line us up all the way around, and at the end are the youth and the babies are over here and the old, and that's what we feel like. But tonight, y'all, there are many that are going to go out into eternity tonight that would be found over in this other section of the tabernacle, unexpected, at a time that's not convenient. And one of these days it's going to be me, maybe tonight. Maybe this is my last message. You say, oh, well, you're, Brother Rod, you're just being dramatic. I mean, there's a lot of people tonight that are going out to meet God that have absolutely no idea that this is their last night. And when we go out and we meet God, the Lord is going to judge us. He's going to judge you on who you said He was. And it isn't going to be a debate. It isn't going to be an interview. It isn't going to be a discussion. It's just going to be. It just is. And the finality that goes with it, eternity that goes on and on and on. And the Lord is asking us tonight, while we still have yet opportunity, who do you say that I am? Who is He to you personally this evening? Is He King of your life? Really? Is He really King of your life? I remember when I was told this to the home congregation when I was a young man, I guess maybe 18. And I'd moved away to school and I was in the dorm one night and struck up a conversation with a young man that wasn't saved. And he was a very intelligent young man and asked very pointed questions. And we got on the subject of religion and our beliefs. And I began to tell him what I believed, and I was all into telling him what I believed, and all of a sudden he stopped me cold. And he said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, hold on just a minute. He said, I want to know something. He said, are you just telling me what your parents have taught you? Are you just telling me how you grew up at home and this is what you were taught? Are you just telling me what your church teaches you? Is that all you're telling me? Or are you telling me what you believe in your heart? You see, he wasn't interested in me just telling him about a life that I'm living to be in conformance to man or to the church or to my parents or to somebody else. He was a young man searching at that time. I didn't know it. And I believe God has put it into every one of us tonight that we want something personal. We want something in our heart. We want the joy of the Lord that we hear about that's more than something that's just an outward show. We desire to experience that living water that comes out of our belly, right? We read about the living waters that come out of our belly. And Jesus said that. And sometimes we can read that having never experienced it. And when we just wonder, what would it be like to have living water from God on high that is just who I am from the inside? And I believe God put that within us. And folks, tonight, God is looking for a people that are willing to make Him king of their lives truly and completely. Brothers and sisters, tonight, who do you say that Jesus is? What is our confession of faith tonight? If we're honest with ourselves, would we be numbered with those that if the Lord were to come, as He has different times in the Scripture given us parables where He would divide people to His left and to His right, and if He were to come tonight and if He were to divide us up, and the people that He divided to the right hand were those that from their heart and from their lives and from their actions and from their innermost being said, Lord, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would we be in that number? Would our lives back it up? I think about the story of Gideon. Do you remember the story of Gideon? And if you'll allow me, think about it in spiritual terms, if you'll allow me just a little bit of liberty. But all were called to go to battle. We're all called to go to be in the army of the Lord. And 32,000 were called to go out and go to battle. And the Lord looked at it and He said, well, hold on, this people, they're not going to bring glory to My name. There needs to be a separation. And so He told Gideon, He said, look, tell those that are afraid and fearful, they can go back to the house. But tell them they can go home. You know, remember how many went home of the 32,000? 22,000 people said, I'm afraid. I don't know about this battle. I don't know if I'm ready for this. I might be ready for it maybe next year or later in my life, but right now there's some things I need to work out in my life. There's some things I just don't understand maybe later. And the majority of them went home. Is there anybody here tonight in that category? But did you know that there were 10,000 people that said, I'll go. 10,000 said, we will sacrifice. We'll put our lives on the line. We'll draw some lines in the sand. We're willing to be different. We're willing to face the world. And we're going to go. But did you know that the Lord looked at it and again He said, Gideon, this people, they're not going to bring glory to My name. I'm not going to get the glory out of this. There needs to be another separation. And He had another test for them. Was the test to separate them out to see who was the most talented swordsman? Was that it? Who could fight the longest without getting tired? Maybe he said, well, let's separate them according to who everyone else looks up to as the greatest warrior. No to all of those. Do you know what the test was? It was a test of the heart. It was a test of the heart. And they went down to the water and they began to drink. And most of them drank in a way that satisfied them. 9,700 of them did that. And as they drank in a way that seemed right and satisfied to them, even though they might have been taught, don't lay your sword down. When you go to battle, you can get a drink, but don't ever lose sight of why you're here. You have a cause that's greater than you are. We have a cause tonight that's greater than we are. God wants us to rise up and say, I'll go, Lord. I'll go for a cause that's greater than I am. And He doesn't want us to ever lose sight of that cause. But there were some that lost sight of the cause. And they began to drink in a way that was more fulfilling. Rather than lapping water like a dog, you can't get as much water as you would like. But you see, it wasn't about them. Those few people that lapped water like a dog, it was because they never lost sight of what this was about. And yet, 9,700 of them, most of them were probably able to look to their right hand, and that person was drinking to satisfy and please them. And they looked to their left hand, and nobody was telling them they were going to have to go home or get kicked out of the church or be disfellowshipped if they didn't live this certain way, because, well, it was kind of accepted that day. But there were a few that were willing to take on a cause that was greater than themselves. And the Lord said, that's who I want to go for me. What group are you in tonight? The 22,000 that says, well, not yet. I think it's a good idea. I do want to go eventually. Not quite ready. Maybe the 10,000, the 9,700 rather, that say, no, we'll go. We're ready to go. But you lose sight of who the cause is really about. Or are you part of the 300 by the grace of God who has surrendered all and is intentional and deliberate about never losing sight about what this is about? He asked Peter, or he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A God that is still alive. A God that is still at work. A God that is still looking for a people that are willing to make Him truly the God of their lives. Are we in that number? You know what Jesus also said? Jesus replied to Peter and He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. It wasn't revealed to Him by man. This experience did not come by philosophies that sounded good. It wasn't through intellectual understanding that was gained through much study. It wasn't with the history of the church. It wasn't by conformance to a comprehensive long list of do's and don'ts. But it was something that went way deeper than that. It was by the very Spirit of God. And He said, thou art Peter. Just as sure as your name is Peter, just as sure as your name means rock, I am going to come and I'm going to build my church upon something that is just as solid as this confession that I am the Messiah. I am the Christ, the Son of a living God, and it's going to be built by a people where it has been revealed to them not by flesh and blood, but by the very Spirit of God. And yet tonight, folks, we are so inclined to flesh and blood measures to find our satisfaction not only in life, but spiritually too. Not just the temporal things of life, but the spiritual ways of life too. We look for approval of other people. We look for the acceptance of man. We look for the acceptance of our congregation. We seek to understand according to our own knowledge. Do we not? We compare ourselves to other people. And we do all these things to find spiritual fulfillment sometimes. Look, I'm a human too. And I want to be accepted in the church. I want you to accept me. That's not wrong. I want to live in a way that you're pleased with. I want to be able to have something on hand that my brothers and sisters are willing for me to be part of their church family. There's nothing so wrong with that, but we are desperate for the Spirit of God to reveal to us a purpose and a salvation and Holy Spirit given convictions in our lives. If we do not have that, we are building our lives on shifting sand. If that is all we're building our spiritual life upon, there is going to come a time when there is going to come a storm that is going to roll through your life. And it is going to shake you and perhaps cause you to fall. If all you have is that which has been built on acceptance of other people, beliefs perhaps that have just been passed down over the years that you've been willing to say, okay, I'll accept that and apply that to my life. If we're not very careful, we will be living in a place, the scripture says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We can live our lives, if we're not really careful, whereas the five virgins that when the Lord came back at an unexpected time, that said that all the 10 virgins were called and they had to stand before the great God that we're going to meet with eternity on the other side. And He judged them, and there were five of them, kind of like the 9,700, that said, we'll go. We're willing to remain unspotted from the world. We're willing to fight this fight. And yet, when they stood before God, they found themselves empty of oil. Perhaps they were masters at adherence to religious practices, but missed the Spirit of God. That is where life is. Philosophy can be upended by revised philosophy. Over time, religions can be replaced by other religions. Doctrines can be revised to revision whatever doctrine, if it's just left up to men. Church culture, folks, get a hold of this. Church culture can change over time. And we are in desperate need of something that goes beyond that. Tonight, we are in desperate need, above all else, to have something from the Holy Spirit of God. And when we get a hold of that, there is nothing that can take it from us. Updated religion, updated philosophy, revised teachings, changes of culture cannot take away Holy Spirit given convictions. cannot take away Jesus Christ out of your heart when you hit rock. And thank God, Jesus Christ is available to every one of us tonight. He wants every one of us to be able to get a hold of who He is. And when we do that, works will follow. They will follow. But works don't lead. Works were never intended to lead. Works will follow. Look, y'all. It does not make me an apple tree. If somebody in my congregation hands me apples and colored ribbon to tie them onto my tree, and then I say, I'm an apple tree. That is not an apple tree. The Lord is looking for fruit and works that come from within. Those are the works and the fruit that edify others. That's those works and fruit, they're accompanied by the fruit of the Spirit, not just outward standards and observances and doctrines that maybe we can explain to somebody and yet maybe have a carnal attitude, yet maybe aren't very meek, maybe we're not very long-suffering, maybe we're not temperate in our lives, but we look the part and we are accepted by the masses in the church. The 9,700, they're willing to have you. They're willing to fight by you. They're not going to tell you to leave. And yet, when the Lord comes back and He calls our names and we stand before Him by ourselves, not going to stand with my congregation, not going to stand with my brothers and sisters. I'm going to stand by myself. And the Lord's going to say, whom did you say that I was? And that day, He's going to tell me who I said that He was. And I'm going to have wanted to have something on hand that reached my heart. I want to have something that resulted in living water that flowed from inside of me and out. Not just something that where I could look the part and be accepted by all of those that are around me. Tonight, where are you tonight? Why do you live like you live? Why do you go where you go? Why do you dress like you dress? Why do you observe what you observe? Why do you hold what you hold? Do you believe it? Is it in your heart? May God help us tonight. Of course, yes. When we're young, there is a place. When our children grow up at home, they do what we tell them to do. We want to show them by example and life. I'm for that. I get it. Babes in Christ, it's wise to follow counsel of the godly. That's Bible. But there comes a time where we are going to have more on hand than that. That time is going to come when God expects us to have something that is from within. We are going to have to give Jesus Christ space in our lives. We're going to have to give Him time. We're going to have to cultivate our relationship with Christ and not always be looking out and in and around, but we're going to have to start looking up. And we're going to have to start asking the Lord, as Paul did, what would you have me to do? Lord, you are God of my life. Yes, I want to be accepted. I want my brothers and sisters to have confidence in me. But I, more than anything else, want to be at peace with God. I don't want to just belong to the 10,000. I want to belong with the 300 by the grace of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But because I got to the place where I recognize I need Jesus Christ in my life more than anything else, I'm desperate for His blood. I'm desperate for His forgiveness. I'm desperate for His Holy Spirit to be there behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I heard a voice saying unto me, I want to hear that voice.
Yes.
Do you hear that voice tonight? Or are you always happen to look around to hear the voices of people? And then you get confused and you get discouraged because it can get confusing sometimes. I want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And if we do that tonight, we can have the testimony of Paul where he said, I am now ready to be offered. I didn't used to be ready to be offered. I used to have a lot of religion. I used to think that I was doing everything right, but I wasn't. But there came a day on that Damascus road, and that can be tonight. This can be your Damascus night, folks. Maybe up until tonight you felt like you were doing everything you thought you should do, but by the mercy of God, He comes along in our lives at different times, and He calls our names, and He turns a light on, and He gets our attention, and He gets us in the place where we have an opportunity to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's what Paul did. And when he did that, and because he did that, and because he lived his life in a way where he put God first and truly made him king of his life, he was able to get to the end and say, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth, there's laid up for me by the grace of God a crown of life. And it wasn't only to him. But Paul said it was available to all of us who love his appearing. Who's appearing? Our friends? Those that said you're doing okay? No, we love God's appearing because we have him in our hearts. And it won't be the first time we meet him. He wants to meet you today. He wants to be in your heart today. He wants to do something that is deeper than the outside. He wants to do something that is deeper than just having the acceptance of man in the church. I want the acceptance of the church. But more than that, I want the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is if I yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto Christ. Not unto other people, but unto Christ. I want to have this testimony of Paul. I don't want to be in the place where Belshazzar was. Belshazzar was in a place where he took the things that were intended to glorify God. He took the vessels that were in the temple, that were intended to bring glory to God. Follow with me. And he took them to bring glory to himself and to please other people. Do you know that we can be guilty of doing the same thing? In religious terms, we can take things that God intended to be glorifying to Him. And yet we are using the very standards that maybe we hold. And it is more about me. And it is more about pleasing those that are looking on than it is about bringing glory to God. It gets close, doesn't it? Others simply just decide, this is my life. I remember years ago when I was a teenager, there was this saying, it's probably going to come back like everything else. They said, why are you doing that? Because I can. Do you remember that? Do y'all remember that? Because I can. Because I can. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because it's your life, and just because you feel like, well, it's my life, this is what seems right to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, But the end thereof are the ways of death. But there are people that 22,000 that said, no, that's really not what I want to do right now. I have some other things I want to do. This is my life. I have these other considerations. And so for now, I want to live this way. Maybe when I have a different level of understanding, different place in life, maybe then I'll go. You're taking a chance. You're going to die. You're going to meet God. There's going to be eternity that's on the other side. And sadly, Belshazzar was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Well, whose balance was it? Was it his friend's balance? Was it his temple friend's balance? Was it the priest's balance? Was it, in our terms, our brothers and sisters in our congregation, was it a balance they put together? Was that what he was weighed on? No, he was weighed in God's balance. The God of all truth. And before this judgment was pronounced on Belshazzar, do you remember what Daniel told him? He said, O king, you knew all of this. He reiterated to him truth that Belshazzar's own grandfather had passed on. Read the fourth chapter of Daniel. It's written by Nebuchadnezzar, said Belshazzar. It's written by Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. Fourth chapter of Daniel. And Daniel told him, you knew all of this. You knew you shouldn't be taking what was God to bring glory to yourself. And we can get into a trap, brothers and sisters. We can get into this, the enemy. He can pull us into this trap where we have this false sense of security because we're doing all these things that look so good and so right. And they are good and they are right. And they are needful, but we lost sight of our cause. And it's more about bringing glory to ourselves and pleasing other people. And so Daniel told him, you knew all of these things, and yet you worshiped things that you should not have been worshiping. And so on an unexpected evening, when it seemed like all was just going wonderful, the revel of the night was broken by the deafening silence of the form of a man's hand writing on the wall, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Not just to the 22,000, but also to the 9,700 that said, we'll go. Your time to prepare for weigh-in has come and gone. You haven't been judged according to truth that I haven't made available to you. I haven't been unfair with how you've been weighed, and yet, in the end, you're lacking. And that night, his soul was required of him, and he went out into eternity to meet God. And he's still out there tonight. It's sobering. It's stirring. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can have a testimony tonight, as Paul had the testimony, basically, of saying, all is well with my soul. We can use our members as instruments of righteousness to glorify God the Father. But we are going to have to be willing to surrender all. We are going to have to be willing to seek revelation from God. We are going to have to be willing to dig deep until we hit bedrock. Can you say tonight that all is well with your soul? Tonight we have the opportunity to arise and to say from our hearts, in every area, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jeremiah said in the 18th chapter and the 2nd verse, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Folks, we arise for all manner of things in life. We arise for all manner of things temporal. But what are we arising for? Where are we going? What are we seeking? What is it that we're looking to satisfy in our lives? What are we getting up for? Are we arising to justify ourselves by our works? Are we arising to justify our lives by the other people that are around us? Are we arising to seek things that don't necessarily glorify God? What are we consumed with? This verse speaks of personal action. It said, go. You go to the potter's house. Go to the place where you can meet Jesus. Go to the place where the Master is. Go where you can get something down deep in your soul from the one that has living water to offer. Go to the foot of the cross. Go where transformation can happen. Go where you can turn in the weights and the things, the sins that doth so easily beset you. I think sometimes of it this way. We carry things around with us. We'll call them pails. And we have lots of them. And they do have handles. We'll pick them up. We'll set them down. We carry things around with us called self. We have self-righteousness. Maybe it's carnality. Maybe we're carrying around things with us that is more form than it is godliness. Maybe it is coveting our own way. Maybe it's worldly mindedness. Maybe it is fear. And the Lord is saying, arise, gather up those things that you have, the weights that doth so easily beset you. Take them all to Jesus. But you know that there's more weights that we carry around than just these things? We carry weights around with us that are given to us by other people. We can carry around weights that are given to us by our brothers and sisters. Here, you should live this way. And they mean well, and they should say what they do. But if we don't receive it in the right way, it just becomes a weight to us. And we start carrying around all these weights. We have self. Things that are self-imposed. Then we have things that other people give us. And before we're done, we're holding on to these pails with our teeth, and they're hanging around our ears, and they're around our neck, and I've got 3 of them on this arm and 5 of them on this arm, and they're hooked to my ankles, and I'm trying to go through life putting on this happy face, telling everybody the life of a Christian is wonderful. Come, taste and see, you'll love it. And people are looking at us going, why would I want anything that looks like that? And the Lord is saying, arise, come to the potter's house. Bring all of it. If you need to, put them in a wheelbarrow and bring all of them to Jesus. And the Lord has a way of helping us and purging us from things that are taking away our peace and that is unrighteous. And He takes these things over here that may be right. And you know what a paradox is? A paradox is something that appears one way, but it's actually another. And one of the paradoxes of the hope of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is that some of these things right here that are right to do, if the only reason you're carrying them around is because you're trying to be accepted, it is a weight. But when you go to the potter's house and you let the Lord put His hands and begin to deal with your heart, The Lord takes these things and He writes them on the table of your heart. And you actually go away feeling lighter than you did before. And He removes the weight and gives you something that gives you purpose in life. And the Lord is inviting all of us tonight to come and to be able to experience the touch of the Master's hand. And so Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and will open the door and come in, I'll sup with him and he with me. And I'll break the bread of life and give you something that means something to you." Folks, tonight we can experience the bread of life. Tonight, let us be willing. Let us be willing to come to the Lord and just give it all to Him. Because we can go away if we are willing. If we are willing to surrender all, we can go away tonight by the grace of God saying, "I have been weighed in the balance. And by the grace of God, I have Jesus Christ in my heart and I'm ready to meet Jesus in eternity." We have a cause tonight. Let's rise up. Let's give ourselves to it. And by the grace of God, we can say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Maybe we can stand tonight. Let's sing a song and allow the Spirit to talk to our voices. Amen.